Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 21st, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, glad to be here.
And of course, Michael Kelly here with us as well, as usual.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
It's good to have everybody joining this live program, or if you're listening to the archive, we welcome you too. Appreciate your time. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And as an aside, we're also here to save the world. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, cryptozoology, and ufology, and a bunch of other areas, and Thomas Francis University at TFUniversity.org, which offers metaphysical standalone courses and degrees. As is customary, I'd like to read our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. These set the tone for the program as well as really form the foundation of everything we teach and believe. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body, which we'll be talking about tonight. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read the expanded version of these 9 principles, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, of course, we welcome Dr. Hunter back from her assignment in Sedona. And you have all kinds of exciting things to say.
Well, you know, I can't say enough about the value of taking a break. That's what it is. It's really important, I think, that everyone reminds themselves to take a day or a few or a week and just check out. I mean, and because it's across the border this time, I didn't take my laptop and, you know, I just kind of... Dr. Kelly was kind enough to let me off the hook for a week, and that was great. So I just checked out. And, of course, what better place than Sedona, Arizona? I happen to have a daughter who lives there, so it's kind of cheating to say I'm taking a, you know, big vacation. I'm going to see my daughter. We'd made it a family trip. And of course, the bonus is Sedona. I love that place. Been there many times. It's my favorite. Did a lot of hiking, exploring, going around, and we went up to, I have to throw this in there. For those who don't know, Barrizona, which is just about 15, 20 minutes west of Flagstaff, is the place that's raising white buffalo. For those of you who might know about the white buffalo prophecy, you know,
cool.
And new enlightenment and consciousness to the planet. And so we did some exploring around there. It was a great time. I'm glad to be back. Of course, it takes a day or two to call your spirits back and get back grounded into your body and, you know, orientated back to the rhythm and routine of life. But caught up good and ready to go now. So, again, the value of a holiday, everybody, even if it means turning off your phone for a day or two, I recommend it to everybody.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time and got recharged and all. And, of course, that brings us to our next topic. A little bit of a lighter topic for tonight is life after death. And I say that in jest.
That's a light topic.
That part is the light part. The not having a life after death would be the downer.
Yeah, it would. So let's talk about this. And I we've obviously talked about this before, but I also want to just explore it a little bit between the three of us. Now, and I'd like to preface this a little bit, too, with, you know, a lot of people say, well, duh, of course there's life after death. And but let's bring it back to objective groundedness. Okay, there is no proof, scientific proof, as it were, for life after death. I mean, obviously, the mainstream science doesn't really believe in it. They're more materialists where, you know, what you see is what you get. And when you die, you're dead, and that's it. And so what that's where we start with, okay? So how do we, you know, why do we think there's life after death? And that's kind of where I want to begin this and start to evolve the conversation a little bit. And I'm going to just start it off with a little bit in this way, that a few years ago when I left religion, you know, of course the religion I was in, Jehovah's Witnesses, they basically believe that when you die, you're dead and you await a resurrection into the new world, yada, yada, yada. And so coming from that point of view, that's where I was at. And I had to relook at things. And, you know, at the time I was heavily involved in paranormal research and all that and had a lot of experiences and a lot of different things that told me that, well, something else is going on here. You know, there's spirits are going on and things that we just can't explain otherwise. I mean, there's just no explanation other than there are spirit entities, you know, around. And so then, you know, I've met a lot of people, including Dr. Hunter. We've had many conversations about this, many experiences regarding this. And so over time, and it wasn't a long, long time, but I really took to researching it, and I became convinced that, yes, life continues. And there's other reasons, too, for this. And obviously, you think about our life. You know, we live, you know, if we're lucky, we live 70, 80, 90 years, if that. And then what? Is that it? I mean, look at all the things we've done, all the things we're capable of doing. And I'm talking about good things, productive things, all the, you know, the art, the music in the world, and all these great things that people have done. And what, we live 70 or 80, 90 years, and that's it? And that's everything? And you're no more? You know, the other day I watched a documentary on Nova on PBS, public TV, and it was about the first face of America. And it was about a skeleton they found deep in a, now I've forgotten the name, the caves that are flooded in Mexico, in Latin America. I know it's right on the tip of my tongue, but they're flooded caves, and the water's crystal clear, and they're beautiful. And these divers were diving in there, and I mean, they were diving, I mean, an hour into the cave, and they came across tons of bones, you know, elephant bones, mammoth bones, all kinds of different extinct creature bones, and they came across a skeleton, a human skeleton. It was of a 15, 16-year-old girl who had apparently lost her way when the floods were not, or when the caves were not flooded. This was back about 12, 13,000 years ago, and at the time, the caves, it was during the Ice Age, the caves were not flooded at that time, and she lost her way and fell and died, had a fractured pelvis. And so, you know, they basically, what's her story? And they were able to gather some information based on her bones, her teeth, and different things of that nature. And I don't know why that bothered me so much, but I mean, here's this young girl, she'd been physically abused as well. And she's dead 13,000 years ago. And here her skeleton is found in a cave in pristine condition, almost an entire full skeleton. Where is she? You know, what about her life? And I get into these existential moments here, and that's where I'm going with this. Is there life after death? Well, it would not make sense for there not to be life after death. And so I'm going to kind of pause at this moment and, you know, allow some comments from either Dr. Hunter or Michael, and then we'll continue on.
Go ahead, Michael. You have some ideas.
Oh, I always got something to say, I'm sure. But when it comes to something like this, I always am afraid to put faith into anything. I hope in a lot of things, but I'm afraid to believe because I've been, perhaps the phrase burnt before with religion and such. But it does, there is a logic to it. There is another layer to this existence, and we could all feel it just on the periphery of our awareness. Some other deeper layer to this existence. We don't know what that is yet, but there is strong evidence to say that there's something more than this. And I've even been able to find optimism in even the most, well, I guess it could say that even if you're going to say that this is it, you still realize that what is your contributions to the world will live on, the things that you've done will live on throughout history, and the essence of what you were, the carbon, the molecules that make up your existence, will go back into the earth and will reform into another living thing. And that's the most dire materialistic way you can look at it, and there's still beauty to be seen in that. But we don't have to just rely on that. There is something more that we can all kind of feel.
Good points. Dr. Hunter, anything?
Well, I think that we're right to, you know, the beginning of based on experience and how you translate your experiences. And, of course, it's subjective. And, you know, there's a lot of emotion to that. But, yeah. You know, based on what I believe is my experience, there's no question about life after death.
Right. And that's the beauty of being you.
And, well, you know, I just don't question it. I, to me, it just is. How we then translate that it remains to be seen, because there could be, I could have an experience and there could be 100 different explanations for it. Any explanation I come up with is that there is some other level of existence with our consciousness. And this is where I believe that the human experience is a blend of our genetics and our genetic code versus also our consciousness or an energy of spirit, as we translate that. Those two things come together to form a unique mind. And the mind is inclusive of our human body. When we let go of the body, we change form. And exactly how that all occurs, and, you know, and I mean, there's theories, lots of theories. Do we then become particles of a great universe and little bubbles of a consciousness that might come back? I mean, I don't know how to explain it, except that I think we bring some spiritual memory with us in the event you believe in reincarnation, which I do. So, but we could also see it from a quantum physics point of view that, you know, there is no time, space, and all things are happening simultaneous at this moment. So there's actually an extension of our consciousness that is living what we perceive as a past life, but it's happening right now. And there's many possibilities to explain it.
All right, so let's continue evolving this conversation a little bit. And I've been pondering this for several days, well, for a long time, but especially over the last few days. And I'm trying to step back a little bit and take everything into account, everything into consideration. And I'm looking at the cosmos. I'm looking at the Earth. I'm looking at the universe. I'm looking at, you know, trying to go deep. Why is entropy is like the number one thing in this universe? Everything goes back to the dust. Everything dies. And why? You know, why is it? It's like saying, why question is, why does everything eat everything else on this planet? You know, whose idea was that? But let's move on. Okay, so everything dies. We see animals, for example. And animals have a measure of consciousness, some more than others, you know. I mean, we're animals too. We have more of a measure of consciousness. But everything has this measure of consciousness. And so the animals, you know, what happens to them? And why is it that, and I look at the animals just around here, you know, there's stray cats, there's raccoons, there's squirrels, there's bunny rabbits, you know, and I see animals run over on the road, and it's like, who mourns for them, you know, or what happens? Why is it that, you know, and not even to mention that the animals get eaten by other animals. It's like in so many ways in this scheme of things, in this cosmos, life is kind of cheap, you know, and it's certainly cheap among the terrorists and all that, but it's not cheap among advanced or enlightened human beings for sure. But death is just, and I'm not trying to be negative here, but it's just a reality. Death is going everywhere, you know. People die. My mom died 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know, and it's just, what's to be said of their life, you know? And so it makes no sense to me that everything that's alive here on this planet and dies just goes to nothing. That makes no utter sense at all. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And so, and you look at even the way of this cosmos, of this universe, stars are born. They live billions of years, sometimes millions if they're huge and all that, but they end up dying, go supernova in many cases, and create a black hole to God knows where, use an expression. You know, is that a wormhole to another universe? Is that where a Big Bang starts on the other side? You know, and if so, then how can there be enough matter for that? But that's a whole other conversation. The point is that everything in this universe is, I don't know, afflicted with entropy. Everything goes back to the dust. So none of it makes any sense to me. Life after death, our consciousness moves on to the next chapter, to another realm, to another level of this reality, of this grand scheme of things. That does make sense because we can continue to build on what we've done after the fact. And to what end? I don't know. Nobody knows that. You know, some religions teach you're reincarnated, so you keep coming back until you learn the lessons. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me either, because I can't learn lessons if I don't remember what the heck I did. And some people do. I don't. So if that's why I'm here, then, you know, good luck to me. But, you know, that's just speculation. All of this is speculation. But it's I'm also trying to appeal to rational reasoning as well. Any comments from either of you?
Well, I think lessons in our consciousness, not necessarily our mentality and our memory, that could be clouded by how we're brought up, how we're programmed, conditioned, and so on, that we lose a lot of memory. But I honestly think that the lessons that come forward are just in a different form than we can intellectualize. That's my thought on it.
Any comments, Michael?
Well, there's something to be said about it being the great unknowable. It's the final journey that we go on. I had to get to a place personally in my life where I didn't need to depend on, for my emotional stability, an afterlife. I always hoped and I thought there would be, and it makes sense. But I honestly got to the point where, you know, even if this is it, that's okay. But again, I don't expect it to be. But it's, you know, it might have been around the time that I was years ago investigating Buddhism more. And it was such a novel approach just to take each moment, moment by moment, be smart about your desires, and realize that this moment in this life is what's important right here and now, to do the best that you can in this life. And, you know, I think that's got to be, well, for me, it's got to be kind of my focus. But that's just one thing I was going to throw in, just about my own personal journey and my own story on it. But it's, the possibilities are really endless and remarkable. And furthermore, when I think about an afterlife, I think about eternity, and that means not just billions of years or trillions of years. We're talking quadrillions of years. We're talking the infinite, unending. What must that be like to experience? Is there another higher version of ourselves that we return to and that experiences that type of reality as a way of life? Do we transition between worlds? I don't know.
It's good questions. I mean, I've often wondered, that when we die, we actually wake up, from a dream / nightmare and say, the hell was that all about? And I don't know. But, I do know that this can't be everything. You look at this world and, yes, there's so many good people in this world. There are smart people in this world. There are good, kind, caring people in this world. There's a lot of them. Unfortunately, we're all overshadowed by the terrorists and the religionists who just want to kill each other, and just the people who don't care, the criminals, whoever wants to hurt other people, and they have no appreciation for life. They just don't care. They're just selfish and they're unenlightened. They're frankly more like animals than they are human beings. And so that overshadows life on this planet, but it can be so beautiful and there can be so much hope. And of course, over the years, I've struggled with futility as well. And I write about this in my courses too, and kind of came to terms with it. And that's why if life goes on, then futility is null and void. There is no futility because we experience life for all we can get right here and right now in the moment on our path. And we carry it through. We continue on and we continue to experience and always striving to grow and evolve and explore life, the world, the cosmos, in whatever realm we find ourselves. And so I'm optimistic that there's a bigger, better answer when it comes to death. And I'm not talking just human death, but animal death as well. That there's some meaning behind it, because otherwise there's no meaning in death. I mean, that I can see, there's no meaning in it. It's, you do all this stuff, you try to do good, you try to help people, and then no matter who you are, what you do, you die. I mean, that's the thing. So what's the point in that? There is no point. And when we look at the cosmos, there's a reason for things. Everything's in balance. Everything, there's a reason for things. And so I'm gambling, if you will, betting on that there's a reason for this whole thing. And I think it goes several layers up, many layers up. I don't know where it came from. I don't know who designed the whole process. I don't know who created it, but I don't know how it came about. But I do feel, and that's, that there, it goes very many layers up. And that's somewhat supported by quantum physics as well. And some of the theories, that they have, not only the many worlds theory, but just the different, the universes. There's evidence that this universe is not the only one, hence the many worlds theory, many universes, multiple universes, because gravity is pulling our galaxies apart, and they're speeding up. But what's pulling them? What's attracting them? Well, if there are different universes next to each other, then that would count for it. And that's kind of the gist of one of the documentaries through the wormhole that I watched a few years back. So I feel like there's hope. And there always has to be hope. And for life after death, life continues on. And then I'm hoping that we'll have a little better understanding. So the people that we've lost in death, the people that we miss, even the people that we once knew who are maybe still alive, but we've lost track of them. There could be religious differences, which is in my case. There's many people I care about and haven't seen in 20 years or talked to because, I'm dead to them. And I'm hoping that in the next chapter that we'll have a reunion and that we'll put those differences aside, or we'll have a better understanding or a more illuminated understanding of everything, so that those things are no longer a factor. Because religion is just an idea in somebody's mind. It has nothing to do with reality necessarily. It's just beliefs. And of course, beliefs are the most potent, powerful thing in the universe. Everything governed in human affairs is governed by beliefs. Comments?
No, you're doing good.
Yeah, just keep talking. Got a few more minutes. So there's some comments. I don't know if anybody wants to comment on the comments in the chat room. There's a lot of comments going on. There's one that Fran had mentioned it in 1968. She was in a CNA program, was doing a practicum in a nursing home. Thought that was interesting, and she was assigned an old gentleman who was dying. She sat there and watched him, and he, you know, breathed his last breath and did a deep exhale. And as he did, she saw smoke-like substance leave his body through his mouth, floated upward toward the ceiling, and passed through. She said, I told the charge nurse what I'd seen, and she was not surprised. She said, stick around, you'll see more. And this is the same thing I've heard many, many times from medical professionals who, you know, hospice nurses or hospice doctors, they'll see this directly linked to shared death experiences, where the family members will participate in a near, you know, with a phenomena associated with a near death experience. But in this case, the person actually does die, and yet the family members are participating in the life review and some other things. And many times they'll see something. There's the deathbed visions. These are all little snippets, little pieces of the puzzle, deathbed visions. I mean, that's a phenomenon that's well known among healthcare professionals and people, you know, especially, you know, elderly, maybe they're even have Alzheimer's or whatever, and they're on their deathbed and they're in their dying hours or days. And at some point, they'll become very lucid and they'll talk to somebody who's not there, like a dead loved one, a mother, a father, a brother, a husband, whoever. And the gist of it is that you know, the spirits have come to receive them, to help them go over the veil. And the person will become very lucid and talk very lucidly to these people. And they see them like clear as day. Nobody else does, but they do. And so this is just happens too often. And there's near-death experiences as well, and shared death experiences. You know, there's so many little pieces of the puzzle. There's indicators. And that's where I'm coming from with rational proof. You know, we don't have objective proof of life after death, but we have rational proof, reasonable proof, you know, that we can draw conclusions based on evidence, even though we can't. Circumstantial evidence is what it is. You know, and they use circumstantial evidence all the time in convicting people. So, yes, it's circumstantial, but if you have enough of it, it's tough to come away with anything else. Any comments?
Well, there's to follow up with something that Dr. Angie said, that even if we go on, there may only be one Angie. And I agree with that. I mean, totally. Because I want to continue on this vein, because Tabitha says, sometimes I think death is the ultimate apex of true knowledge. Like, we are here in our physical form taking the great and the difficult and the painful, and then we die. With death, we finally understand the true meaning of life. And yes, we can agree with that too. But I want to go back to something that what Angie had pointed out, is that we're here now. And I think our responsibility in coming to Earth is to create and to be the creators of this world. Because even if we go and we transcend and we have those, aha moments, those spiritual consciousness, it's like, so what? What did we do back down on Earth? And it just reminds me of an ex-husband coming to me after he was dead saying, well, you know, up here we really let go of all that, you know, and I'm not burdened anymore with all my struggles. And I won't say exactly the words I said to him, but it went something like this. How nice for you. The rest of us are down here cleaning up your mess. You know, so I think that it's important that no matter how much we might focus on the soul, lifetimes, transcendence, you know, life after death, whatever we want to, however we want to look at it, I think our greatest task is to do as well as possible in creating the human experience and contributing to that, which is everything that IMHS stands for and the church stands for, is to be good human beings and exploring. But don't lose sight of why we're here.
Yeah. See, and that's a great thing to bring this around and kind of wrap up this topic. You know, we don't want to be overly burdened with the fact that we're going to die. We are, but we need to have hope that we're going to be able to continue doing good things, and that the people that we love and we leave behind will be fine, because they'll make their way. Everybody has to make their way. And to understand that now is the time to seize the day, to make the most of what you've got, to make the most of your life, to be all that you can be today, and continue and be better tomorrow than you were today in some way. And we just continue that, having the hope, the optimism that, yeah, we'll continue on, and we'll understand things hopefully a little better in the next chapter, and we'll continue on. So not all is lost is the point, but we can just focus on walking a better path today. Those are reasons to be optimistic, to have hope. Understand, you know, that this too shall pass is the old saying, and it will. So if you're having a hard time, just hang in there. It'll pass. It'll go. Keep working at it. Don't lose hope. You know, I've said this many times before, and when you lose hope, well, you're hopeless, right? You're less of hope, and you have nothing. But there's no reason to be hopeless. There's no reason to not have hope. It will pass. There are lessons to learn. We need to learn those lessons. Once we learn those lessons, the situation will move on. It will pass, and we'll be able to learn other next lessons in our life. So, good topic. Let's see if anybody wants a card pulled for them from our inner oracle card deck.
Well, I put that in the the chat, and we already have Fran up for a card, and I just picked good one, and it's balance and order, number 8, in our inner oracle self-discovery cards. So this is for you, Fran. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what's out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. So that's just a, you know, little tap on the shoulder, and make sure you're keeping that balance in order there. And if there's any adversity, you know, just get organized. I don't know, maybe it means cleaning a closet. Sometimes it can be that simple, you know, because these things weigh on us from time to time. So that's for you. So we next have Dr. Tabitha. Maybe Michael would like to draw a card for Tabitha.
Oh, of course. And Dr. Tabitha, I've pulled number 27, gains.
Gains. Yeah, kind of talking about that.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yes. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Good one. I like that. A little message there.
Has such practical life application.
Yeah. Well, now we have Heather next in the chat, and I pulled number 1 in the wild card suit for you, Heather, and it's paradox. Interesting. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and way of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. And thus, new perspectives are discovered. Paradox. Maybe you got something going on there that, you know, just shift the dial in the thinking. It's paradox.
Good. That's always a good one.
Yeah. And next we have Jeff. So, Michael, maybe you'd like to lend a hand there.
Oh, absolutely. I took the liberty of pulling one from the middle of the deck, and it's number 36, gratitude.
Good one.
Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
I think we know that. Yeah, Jeff always has gratitude, I believe. I think this is just a little reminder, Jeff, but I'd like to also say gratitude goes both ways. Now, sometimes in listening to these cards, think of it in another way. You know, getting back to that paradox thing for Heather is a moment, is maybe see it as other people sharing their gratitude as well. It's not just what we look at in ourselves. It's also what we see outside of ourselves. Maybe there's people in your life who don't have gratitude, and maybe your energy is best spent somewhere else. That's always a possibility too. So be willing to see these messages from all different angles, I say.
Good points. All right. I would like one of you to pull a card for me.
Ooh, well, I think I'll go for that one, Michael.
Oh, I think that's a good one.
I got deliberate intent.
Okay.
All right.
I don't like that one. Pick another one.
All right, I will. All right. Attitude and disposition.
Let's go with deliberate intent.
All right, we'll do that. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic, it requires effort. Focus on what you want, not what you don't have. Release with patience.
That's deliverance intent's been on my mind for a few days too. So I guess that's confirmation.
It sounds like you've been on a little, you know, spiritual exploration in the last few days. You know, I would like to remind everyone that no matter how advanced, progressive, evolved we all think we are, we're just human beings all getting through it, and we all have our moments. We all, even whether it's Dr. Kelly, myself, Michael, you know, Tracy, we all have our evolution and our phases for life. And, oh, geez, you know, this next phase of seeing it from a new angle. And honestly, sometimes it's seeing the same thing 100 different ways, but it looked different when I was 20. It looked different when I was 30, you know, and now I'm over. We were talking earlier about the life over 50, and I reminded everybody, how about life over 60? Everything looks different. So you can address the same ideas, same notions, same concepts, same philosophies so many different times in your life. It's going to take on a new color.
That's because they're reframed each time, really.
Exactly. So this is just you maybe lasering in on a different intent, something that's taken on a new perspective for you.
Good. Appreciate it. Dr. Angie would like a card, too.
Dr. Angie. Michael, how would you like to...
Absolutely. I'm going to pull another one, but it should be noted that I was just randomly shuffling and I pulled another one from the middle of the deck, and it was gratitude again.
That's good. There you go.
Okay, so the message has probably been delivered on gratitude. Let's do another
one. Receive.
But I did take the, well, used this one before, but I took the liberty of pulling another card. It's Sacred Obligation, number 31. Mm. Sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continuing to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
You know, I don't even remember the last time we pulled that card. It's interesting.
Oh, it's been a while.
It is.
And Dr. Angie was just sharing a certain situation in her life right now, and I think that applies. So no need to go into it. Just sharing on chat, and here's a little message to you. So, sacred obligations.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody's participation tonight. Appreciate those who tuned in live, those who are listening to the archive, as always. And it's been an interesting discussion, a lot to think about. And, you know, we talked about life after death and the rational proof for it, the fact that, you know, just death in itself makes no sense. And so we have all the reasons to be optimistic, to have hope, to make the most of our life right here and right now, and being the best possible version of ourselves that we can to the benefit of all concerned. So hope that you will do that. Again, appreciate everybody's time. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Good to have her back. Thanks to Michael for always being here. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.